So far then. Who's the Piper Class Secretary?
Not here.
Not here. That's a shame. They've got a job now. So, if you don't want to shout out or if you don't want to call out, please don't. Please just listen. If you do have some ideas, I'd love to hear them, and I'm sure others would too. So would anybody just be courageous enough to start us off with an idea that you had?
Because we enjoy it.
Sorry?
Because we enjoy it.
Thank you. Did someone have said something over here?
I was just going to say, to remember Jesus in the bread and the wine.
You won't be able to see this at the back, I suspect, but you can come have a look at it later.
Sorry?
I'll shout them out as I'm reading them out so we can catch them. So we've got, because we enjoy it, to remember Jesus. And we've got to worship God.
Because we believe in the Bible that Jesus is coming back.
And if
we're preaching.
It might open up a conversation.
If you're talking to other people.
I've got three things there, if that's okay. So we've got believe, because we believe Jesus is going to return. We have it's preaching, I think. And if I also, I think it was the third one that I heard, which was open a conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you. What else?
To extend our knowledge of the Bible.
Thank you. Sorry, it takes a while to write. I hope you can bear with that. So, enjoy it. Remember Jesus. Worship God. Because we believe Jesus returns. Preaching. Open a conversation. Extend knowledge of the Bible.
Come in to see friends.
Yeah. See friends.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know that it's encouragement.
Encouragement.
Encouragement. Run out of space a bit there. It's too big a word for me.
Time to think and reflect.
To get a better understanding of God's plan and purpose.
Sorry, I'll just do a recap again so that we've got them all, so that if there's any additional ideas, if you've got the same one, you can just cross it off. If we've got any additional ones, I'd love to hear them still. We've got because we enjoy it. Do you have a loop, by the way, or a speaker?
Oh,
do I need to stand near that?
Everybody here, right?
No, everybody's
not. Oh, sorry.
I'll come back here. Is that easy for folks? Can everybody hear now?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I'll jump down and back a little bit. So probably a good time just to have a recap and capture where we've got to. So starting from the top, I'll just read them out. I'll go across and work my way down like that. So for those of you who can see, that's what I'll do. So it's because we enjoy it. To remember Jesus. To worship God. It can help us open a conversation. It can be preaching. We go to church because we believe Jesus returns. We go to church to extend our knowledge of the Bible, to see friends, to just encouragement, time to think and reflect, understand God's plan and purpose. I think you said better understand it. Jesus told us to meet together, to eat the bread and drink the wine. Do we have any other ideas?
Yeah, I've come because being a chief sinner, God forgives me and I have to thank him for that.
Bet that is too. So, I don't know whether you're happy with that or not, but thankfulness was part of it and forgiveness was part of it. So there's maybe two things there we can have as separate. I don't know, but there they are anyway. Any other ideas?
Fellowship.
So, sorry? So that was fellowship.
Have a good sing. General.
Actually, it's not bad here, is it, the singing?
Sorry.
Yeah, it's good. It's come to Sheffield, it's quite terrible there. Sheffield's not an occasion to join if you like singing. It may have other strengths, but that's not one of them. Okay. Super. Now, the reason I say your Bible class secretary might want this, because my next question is, we could come up with lots of reasons, couldn't we? There's a good list of reasons. The question is there any justification for these reasons? So my question for you to take away is, for how many of these reasons is there biblical justification? Because, for example, if there's no biblical justification for having a good sing, that may not be a good reason to come down here. If there's no biblical justification to worship God, we might be doing the wrong thing. We might be doing what we think's right, but it might not be right. So I'd like to leave that with you, because I think that's a topic which is well worth continuing to explore. What I'm going to do, because I was asked to speak, so I am going to speak a bit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at what I think are the two most popular passages, or the two passages which come to mind first when people ask this question, or when people were, if you're asked to produce a scripture passage about meeting together, about going to church, I'm going to pick what I think are the two that we most commonly look at and just re-examine them a little bit, and we'll see which of those support the things we've got up here and which are not mentioned. It doesn't mean to say that these aren't good ideas or appropriate things to do. It just means these particular passages can't be used to justify that. Okay? So the first one I'll take is actually in Hebrews. And because we're going to look at it in some detail, it seemed better to actually look at it now, not read it out, sort of do this and then come back to it. So that's why I felt it was better not to take an opening reading. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10. And verses 19 down to 25. I'm actually using the English Standard Version today, so if your version's a little bit different, then that'll be why. So let's read it first, and then let's go back over it second and have a look at some of the things it says, and just probe at some of the concepts in there. So in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 19. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 10, and starting at verse 19, we read in the ESV at least, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, could I ask, who's using the Authorised Version this morning? Just raise your hand, or the King James, or the New King James. Who's using something else? What are you using?
Century.
ESV?
NIV.
NIV. Have we got any other versions in the room? So just those three on show. So you'll see a little bit of differences there. Hope you can cope with that. Firstly, let's just have a look at the logic flow here. We see that the person who's writing this letter is already in the middle of quite a complicated argument, because the first word in mine is therefore. Does everybody have a word like therefore at the start of verse 19?
Yes.
So to make full sense of this, we'd need to start before this point. But we'll just say he's concluding something here, and he's saying, therefore, since this, since that and the other, and because of all of these things, and he's kind of, it seems he's summarizing here, in verse 22, he says, let us. So since this, and because of that, and therefore, let us then this. So does most people have at the start of verse 22, let us? Yeah, so that's where he's saying this is what we need to do about this. Now, what's also worth having a look at is the punctuation, which is, as far as I'm aware, not in the original. But those who have the authorised version will see, what do you see at the end of verse 23? Do you have any punctuation there?
Full stop.
You have a full stop? Okay, New International Version, full stop? ESV, full stop. Now, I don't know how much emphasis to place on that. I'll leave you to take that idea away as well. But it would appear that actually we're moving on to a new idea even at this stage. So if we really push this along, we can see, because of everything that's come before, let us, number one, and we'll take this now step by step. So verse 22, because of this and because of this, because of this, no, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So that's the first thing he says, let us do. The next thing is in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And number three, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, comma. Does everybody have a comma there? Or something like that, yeah? So this appears to be kind of one sentence. So at this point is where we're linking in very clearly to not neglecting to meet together. So we can be very clear that the last part from verse 24 down to the end of verse 25 is what we're to do when we meet together. Whether we should be doing what's in verses 22 and 23 is an interesting question. You could argue, yes, we should, because it says, let us. So we've got, let us draw near with a true heart in verse 22. Verse 23, let's hold fast the condition of our hope and our faith. And verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but I have encouraging. I think the authorised version has exhorting. Okay. Does anybody else have a different word, or we just got encouraging, exhorting there? Encouraging or exhorting one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So it's not my job to exhort, is it? It's everybody's job to exhort everybody. I'm part of that. I mean, I hope that I can contribute in some way, but we shouldn't come down, you would argue, on a Sunday morning simply to listen to me and be exhorted. We should all be here to exhort each other. And I'm maybe a bit of a different view of that, because I'm from somewhere else, so I can contribute at some level. But we should be doing that to each other. That's something we should be doing. So when someone said encouragement, I think we can see that in there, can't we? But maybe we're now getting a bit of a different take on it. And what's also just worth knowing is a little bit about the background of some of these words. So the word works, because we tell, well, what's that then? Love, we're pretty clear on, yeah? I mean, I think we've all grown up knowing what love is and knowing when it's absent, because our parents typically, for the vast majority of people, were loved by the parents, so we've had experience of it. So I'll leave that one, as I think we can kind of safely assume most people know what that looks like. Works, what does that mean? Well, let's have a look at a couple of other references to see what that might mean. John, so if you come, if you want to follow, we're going to go to the Gospel of John next. John chapter 10. And we'll just have a look at a few verses here to help us understand what that means. So that we are trying to stir one another up to love, and we're trying to stir one another up to good works, is what it says we're here to do. And we're also here to encourage. We'll come back, or exhort. We'll come back to that in a moment. But let's have a look at the first one. To stir one another up, to provoke, to stimulate one another to love and good works. Chapter 10 of John's Gospel and we'll start in verse 22. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." So are you Jesus? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Are you the coming King or not? Tell us plainly, who are you? Jesus answered them, verse 25, "I told you and you don't believe." So I've already given the answer to that. You're just not listening properly. You're just not hearing it. You don't believe it. And then he goes on to say, "The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me." Now, New International Version, I think you've got a different word there, haven't you? Does it say miracles?
What
verse 25. Could you just read it out?
Works.
Is it works in the New International Version as well? So I thought it might be miracles. The idea, though, is when we look at a verse like this, it's helping us understand, because Jesus says, "Think about the works that I have done, that bears witness about me." So when we think about stirring one another up to love and good works, if we go to a passage like this, it's helping us realise that all of the works that Jesus did through his life are the sorts of things that we should be doing. And the word reappears in this particular chapter, which is why I chose it, three times, the original Greek word. So, for example, if we look at verse 32, Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" Because they were so upset by what he said, they were going to kill him. And he said, "I've done all these good things, for which of those then are you taking offence?" So if we want to understand a little bit about what good works means, then that, I think, gives us some insight into that. Okay, if we go back to Hebrews, I probably forgot to tell you to keep your finger in there, but Hebrews then. Hebrews, we're in chapter 10, and we're just looking at these verses 24 and 25. Let us consider, because of this, because of this, because of this, because of all the things that Jesus has done, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. So meeting together is one of the ways of enabling us to do that, as is the habit of some, but also encouraging one another. Now the word encouraging there is the word parakaleo, apparently, and it's connected with the comforter, which is the word that comes up in the Gospel of John again during Jesus' discourse over the Last Supper. This word is typically translated as urge, encourage, plead, or comfort. So it's, I think, helpful to realise it's about encouraging, inspiring, lifting people, making things helpful, comforting them. So I don't think it's really my job when I stand up here in an hour's time or so to say, "That's not very good and that's no good and you need to do better there." Because that doesn't encourage me, at least. I'm not sure it encourages anybody to say, "Do you do this then? Do you do that?" We need to encourage one another. So I don't need to be told to do the daily readings. I know that. I need to help someone help me understand how to do it. Someone encourage me to do it. Someone show me better ways of doing it. Someone show me how they're doing it. Now I can do it as well. So that, I think, is something at least to challenge ourselves with. There may be other passages where we're told to point the finger or to correct or to admonish, things like that, but it's not this one. So we need to go somewhere else to justify that, which, again, I've got 8 minutes left, so I can't do that just now. Okay? So as we look through that, we're seeing things that are actually quite interesting, I think. When we look at, let us not forget meeting together, it's to stir one another, I'll slow down a little bit. It's to stir one another up to love and to good works, the sort of things that Jesus did with his life, and to encourage each other. Not my job, encourage each other all the more as you see the day drawing near. Second passage, which is probably even more well known than that one, 1 Corinthians 11. you may well read this out in again about an hour's time. 1 Corinthians 11. And we'll start reading here from verse 23. And this is a passage which is in one of the letters, but it talks about meeting together to remember Jesus and to partake in, to eat bread and drink wine. So 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll start reading at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So he's telling us, do this. He said that twice. It starts at both, just before the end of verse 24. "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we are supposed to eat the bread to remind us of the body of Jesus, and we're to do it to remember Jesus. Now, the word there is, again, quite an interesting one. It's the word anamnesis. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, so I'm not going to place too much heaviness on this, but apparently the word mnesis means to remember. And yet there's another bit on the front of the word. So we've got remember something else on the front of it. So that must make it more important. It must be emphasising the word. And commentators seem to suggest that this means so that you can't forget. So it's not just, oh, we recall it and then we go away again and that was all very good and it was nice to spend the time remembering it. The point appears to be, you come here to remember this so that you can't forget it. So for the rest of the week, it's always in your mind. It's always there. It's lodged so strongly that it's impossible to forget it at any stage of your life. So when you're driving your car, it's always in your mind, that sort of idea. When I'm getting frustrated with people, it's just, I remember that. I'm remembering it all the time. That seems to be part of what we're being told about here. So it would seem to me to be important to do this quite regularly. Because if I didn't do this very regularly, it would be easy to forget it. And the word is quite a strong one. It's saying you need to do this, do it, so that you can't possibly forget me. Let's go back in where we were. So that's, we've seen, do this in remembrance. Let me start in verse 24 again. So, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, that's the bread, and said, "This is my body which is for you." So this represents, it's an image, it's a metaphor for my body. "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Look, you haven't got time to explain what that means, but he's again saying, I want you to take a cup of wine, and I want you to drink it. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, so that you can't forget me. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," so whenever you do this, "you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup." Now we need to pick this a little bit as well, because there's again some interesting things. Just if we really look at it, there's quite a lot in this. So we've seen then that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Does everyone have a word like proclaim? Yeah? What's the authorised version got there?
Show.
S-H-O-W or S-H-E-W? Show. S-H-E-W. I've never understood what the difference between the two is, to be honest. Those who use it might be better equipped to explain that than me. The word there, apparently, is katangelo, and it's typically translated as proclaim or preach or show. So it appears to be a public thing. It's about preaching. It's about showing what we're doing. It's about sharing what we're doing, apparently. And if we want to look at another time this word is used, keep your finger in Corinthians 11, and we'll just go back to Corinthians 9. And you'll see a word appear here. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. Well, actually, we'll start off in verse 12. So he's talking about whether it's appropriate to get paid for what you're doing or not. And in verse 12 we start, if others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, this is Paul talking, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. And that's the same word. So used there, it's very clearly preaching. So it seems to have an outward element to it. So if we go back then into Corinthians 11, verse 26 seems to be something that somehow or other, through doing this, we are supposed to be preaching, proclaiming, showing to other people our faith. So it's actually an external thing, it's not about me, it's about what we're doing for other people. We're doing this so that other people can see us doing it at some level, it seems to me. Also, we've got, though, this other interesting passage, which is in verse 28. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, that's an interesting word as well. How many people have got the word examine there? Yep. Does everybody have examine? Yeah? It's actually quite an interesting word, that one. So again, if you want to follow all of this up in your Bible classes, they're great topics to have a look at and see whether you think I've got this right myself or whether I need to be helped in my understanding of it. When I looked at this word, at least, it's, well, this fits straightforward. It's dokimazo. That's a word which is translated typically as test. So test yourself. Or find out. So find out about yourself. Or approve. Approve yourself. So it looks like it's not so much I think about everything I've been doing and how bad I've been. It looks much more like I think about how important, and it'll be there later on. Can't point to it now, but the bread and the wine will be there later on. When I come to that moment, it would appear that it's much more to me to think about how important is this really to me. I'm testing myself against the relevance of this to me. Am I just eating it and then going away and forgetting about it? Or is this really important to me or not? Does this affect me deeply or not? Is this something that drives my whole life or not? And if it doesn't, what can I do to help myself get closer to that? So that seems to be more of the flavour of that word than reflecting on how bad I've been over the last week. So, focus then of this seems to be, firstly, these verses here, never forget, so that we do this so that we can never forget it in our lives. We're doing this memorial service so that we share, proclaim and preach to other people our beliefs, and somehow that's part of what it is. And we are thinking about how important this really is to me. And that's what I've got to say this morning, to be honest. We'll talk a bit in a short while. I'm sure the President might have a few words to say now as well.
Well, thank you very much, John. It's given us all plenty to think about. Thank you. A few announcements before we close. Next Sunday, God willing, in this hall at 10:30, a subject